Memory aids have been used for thousands of years, going back even before ancient Greek and Roman times. There were no real note-taking devices back then, and even when written language came along, writing materials tended to be cumbersome, and few possessed the gift of literacy. So memory aids, systems, and techniques helped those bards and storytellers remember their songs, poems, stories, and plays. The orators of ancient Greece and Rome memorized their long speeches, thought for thought, by using a technique called loci. Some people pronounce that loci. Whatever, it means places. The speaker would mentally connect the first thought of his speech to the first place in his home, perhaps the doorway. The second thought was connected to the second place, usually the entryway or foyer. The third idea was connected to the third place, perhaps the stairway, and so on. When he was ready to deliver his speech, he would think of the first place, the doorway, and that reminded him of the first thing he wanted to talk about. When he had completed that thought, he would move on to the second place. Each place reminded him of a thought, and when he'd completed his mental tour of his home, he'd finished his speech. From that concept, through the mists of time, came a figure of speech that we use to this day, in the first place, in the second place, and so on. When the ancient orators, mostly monks and other religious people in those days, felt that their own homes had become too familiar to serve as loci, they wandered the streets searching for other places to use as memory triggers. In an important step forward, they soon realized that just about anything could be used as loci. The 12 signs of the zodiac, for example, could easily serve as 12 different sequential places. Eventually, parts of the Bible were used as places. What's really interesting is that to use the zodiac signs or parts of the Bible, or anything else, as loci, they first had to learn, that is, remember, those zodiac signs or Bible parts. So the search forced them, without their realizing it, to acquire more knowledge. A fragment of parchment dating from approximately 400 BC states, "A great and beautiful invention is memory, always useful for learning and for life. I was thrilled when I found this in my research because I've written so often that there is no learning without memory." Along similar lines, Aristotle praised memory systems, writing that these systems too will make a man readier in reasoning. And remember that he also began a book with the statement, "In order to think, we must speculate with images." Lovely. Because again, that's what I do and what I teach, exactly how to use mental images. It's a cliche of mine that I will repeat throughout this audiobook. Anything that can be visualized is easier to remember. And anything, I mean anything, can be visualized when you know how. Although Simonides, circa 500 BC, is considered to be the father of the art of trained memory, pieces of parchment dating from over 1,000 years before Simonides tell us that memory techniques made up an essential element of the orator's equipment. According to the philosopher Quintilian, circa 45 AD, we should never have realized how great is the power of a trained memory, nor how divine it is, but for the fact that it is memory which has brought oratory to its present position of glory. In De Oratore, on the Orator, 55 BC, Cicero described how he applied memory systems and how lawyers and orators of his time were all aided by applying memory systems and techniques. It was known way back then that, and I just love this, memory training would help the thinking process itself. I love it because I've stated that fact so often in my books, lectures, and seminars. Yes, applying my memory techniques will help you acquire a better than photographic memory, and it will also give you a much stronger sense of imagination, a keener sense of concentration, and a much better ability to observe, to focus attention. Each of these is part of the thinking process. And those, I call them wheels, of imagination, concentration, and observation automatically and definitely go hand in hand With my trained memory systems, those wheels start to spin as rapidly as the memory wheel without any extra effort on your part. In my very first book on the subject back in 1956, I used an anecdote about speeches. Here it is, brought up to date just a bit. As the nervous speaker approached the microphone, his hands went into one pocket after the other, obviously searching for his notes. As he reached the microphone, he murmured haltingly, My friends, when I arrived here this evening, only God and I knew what I was going to say. Now, only God knows.